Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Jennifer Bogart. Each week at this time, we visit with an author, or sometimes an editor, or a publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little bit about their lives, what prompts them to write, and if it's an author, give them an opportunity to read from their work. This week, we're very pleased to have Jennifer Bogart join us. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Jennifer Bogart believes there's a spark of magic in every person, regardless of age or background. Her upper middle grade novels are written with bright and imaginative youth in mind. She hopes to provide fun and appropriate content combined with challenging language and concepts for readers drifting in those precarious middle years. She has also written several novels she describes as women's fiction. Jennifer spends her days writing, editing, and caring for her very busy family. She used to dream of the day when Mary Poppins would swoop in to help with the children. But now that they are older, she wishes those chaotic days filled with giggles and sunshine hadn't disappeared quite so fast. On the other hand, she's now able to find time to run her business with her associates, Morning Rain Publishing, and to perhaps do more writing. So Jennifer, how did you become a writer? Was it a childhood ambition, or did you take it up as a career as an adult?
I always wrote from a very young age. I can't even tell you when I started. I very proudly tell people I published my first book of poetry when I was about 10 and had it signed by Robert Munsch. Now, it was bound in pink construction paper and was handwritten with some, you know, crayon illustrations. But yeah, that was my first foray into publishing and writing. And I am not a poet.
I hope you still have it.
I do. I have a photocopy of it. The original was kept at the school that I went to. And I highly doubt that it has lasted this long. It was many, many years ago. But yeah, I do have the photocopy of the book.
Yeah. So that first effort was poetry. When did you get into your stories?
I started writing what I like to call long-distance writing when I was about 12, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. My parents worked on a farm, and we used to sell sweet corn at the end of the driveway. And during those really long days, I would sit with a legal pad, and I would draft out my novel, which, oh, wow, again, I thought was a pretty epic experience at the time for, you know, 12, 13 years old. And I finished it, but it will forever stay in a drawer.
Yeah, but you probably learned an awful lot through that process that made later things a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Now, you have a large family of your own now, three boys and a girl, and you've written several middle grade novels. Did you produce these as your family grew up? And, you know, what kind of books do you think young people like?
Yeah, I did write them as my kids were growing. They're older now. They're, you know, between the ages of 15 and 20, so they're not so little anymore. I think kids like honest books, and I think they like books that aren't dummied down. So they don't want to read things that have been sugar-coated, or those middle grade years are very, as you said, precarious. There's a magic in them where they're still part of being a child, but they're also growing very quickly, and they need the opportunity to explore and not be lied to about the world. So I think, yeah, they, I don't know. they like books that are honest, that are not dummied down, that address real issues. And mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean that the book has to be a real-life book. It can be fantasy. It can be science fiction. But they need to be real. They need to be something that they can find accessible and not too childish.
Right. Yeah, so if someone's going to die, somebody dies.
Then exactly.
You don't have to pretend that they don't.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And then what about your books for adults? You know, you talked about women's fiction. So
I started the first novel I published was called Remember November. It's since been recovered, so it has a new cover, has a new title, just simply November, and was women's fiction. So it doesn't fall into a category of romance or chick lit, because without spoilers, it doesn't give you a traditional happy ending. And the target audience isn't necessarily under the age of 30, which is where your chick lit novels fall into. So it's women's fiction, and I wrote three of those. I have more that I'm working on. And I, again, writing with humor, honesty, accessibility, and not dumbing things down and not trying to sugarcoat what happens in life, because we are all guilty of making mistakes and making poor choices and having to work our way through them.
Yeah. So what specifically makes it women's fiction?
The only criteria for it to be women's fiction is the target audience is women. And that doesn't mean that men can't enjoy it. It just means that your protagonist is most likely going to be female, and you're probably going to be dealing with themes and issues that women have to deal with. Like, for instance, single parenting. Not that men don't do that. They do. It's more common to see a woman struggling to work a full-time job and raise a child. Anything from, that's basically it, just anything that would appeal more to women or where your target audience is women.
Hmm. Well, perhaps you could share some of your writing with us. Would you like to tell us what you're going to read from?
Okay, I'm going to read from Reflections. It was the second book that I published, and it's about a young woman who was widowed very young, and she has a daughter who is now turning 13. And this woman is unhappy with herself. She's unhappy with the way she looks. She's unhappy with where she is in her career. And it's like a coming of age story, but she's in her 30s. She's not a 20-year-old who's coming of age and trying to find herself. She sort of missed out on that part when she was raising her young daughter. So I'm actually going to read from near the end of the book, but it doesn't give away the story. It was just a part that I don't know, I really liked it. So it's been a while since I read this book, and it is going to be, again, recovered and re-edited because it was one of my earlier work. So to reflect that, the story is more about humor and less serious than what the title Reflections implies.
So. Are the three books connected? Are they a series or are they standalone?
They are completely standalone. Okay. There's one character who tends to run through them. She makes, I guess, like a little spotlight. I don't know why. I've not written her story. I have actually written her story. I have not completed her story. And so she makes little cameo appearances in every single thing I write, sort of connecting the books like as if they're in their own universe, but they're in no way connected. There's no overlap. You don't need to read one book before you can read another. They're completely standalone.
Okay, wonderful.
I'll just give you an idea of where we are. Callie is the daughter, and there is a person named Chris who is the protagonist's sister who lives with them. And Callie was given a box of photos that her uncle gave her from her past. Callie's 13, and her father passed away when she was very young, so she doesn't really have much of a memory of him. So she's sitting in her room looking at this box filled with photos, and her mom finds her, and this is written from her mother's perspective. So, mind if I take a look with you? I settled myself on the ground beside her, glad I had chosen to wear loose-fitting slacks this morning instead of a less forgiving pencil skirt. Callie's answer to me was another shrug of those delicate shoulders. When I looked at her in the faint light, I could see slight track marks on her cheeks, as though she had been crying. Is everything all right? It's just that I miss him so much, she whispered as she looked away from me. I don't even remember him, what he looked like, what he sounded like, what we did together. But when I see pictures, a part of me... Her voice trailed off, and she wiped away the tears she was struggling to keep under control. I didn't know what to say. Pictures of Damien and me had slowly been replaced by pictures of Callie, Chris, and me. Even our wedding portrait had been replaced by an adorable self-portrait Callie had painted when she was in grade 2. I picked up the photo she had been staring at and frowned. Damien wasn't even in the picture. It was a picture of Callie and me when she was about 3 or 4. It looked a bit like something you might find in a magazine. Our identical blonde hair blended into each other's, gray eyes gazed into brilliant blue ones, and our matching smiles mirrored a kind of happiness that can only be found in the most special of mother-daughter relationships. Callie was breathtaking in her innocence, happy, adorable, not a care in the world, exactly the way a preschooler should look. But more astounding was the image of the glowing young mother. I couldn't even begin to identify with her. She looked like a complete stranger to me. Daddy's not even in this picture. My voice was laced with confusion. But I do remember the day he took it. We had spent the day at the park, and your dad was playing with his new camera. Callie shook her head and bit her lip. A flash of guilt swept across her features, but was gone before I was sure I even saw it. I know, she whispered. Gingerly, she took the picture back and stared at it thoughtfully, lost in the dream world I had found her in only moments before. It's not really him I miss. I caught my breath, not at all sure I had heard her correctly. She gave me a rather self-deprecating smile, the kind you usually see on adults, not teenagers. When I think of him, I only see little snapshots in my head, usually of things we've talked about. Those aren't real memories. They've just been planted there over time by other people. Now they sort of feel like they're real, but I know that they aren't. Oh, Callie. In the end, it's not really Daddy I miss. It's you. The words tumbled out in a rush, falling over top of each other just as the tears started to trip over my own cheeks. I remember feelings more than actual events. I remember laughing and snuggling and chatting. I remember kisses on boo-boos and teasing and having someone there to chase the monsters away from out of the closet. I remember feeling safe and loved and protected. Callie, I don't feel safe anymore. It's not this house or having Uncle Ryan here or even you going back to work. It's just this feeling that's sitting inside of me, and no matter how hard I try, I just can't control it. I feel like we're running away when what I really want is to be running towards something. I feel a bit like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, and I just want to stay on the yellow brick road so I can find my way back to, well, to you. I took a deep breath, unsure of what to say or how to respond. Callie was looking for something I knew was in me to give. I glanced again at the photo she still clutched in her hand. Who was that self-confident young woman laughing with my daughter? Where had she gone? At what point had she disappeared? Was it before or after Damien's death? May I see that for a minute? I held my hand out for the photograph, reluctant to just take it from her. Kelly handed over her treasure as though she were offering up her firstborn for sacrifice. I'll give it back, don't worry. I did not remember myself as this happy, confident young mother smiling in the picture. Damien had taken it with the sun behind us, so the two of us seemed to be wrapped in a halo of light. Nothing but sunshine and smiles in this picture. It was astounding. He had captured the perfect moment, not knowing it would be buried in a box until it was desperately needed. This photograph was a reflection of who we had been. It could also be seen as a reflection of who we wanted to be. I sighed and gave Callie back the picture.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Jennifer Bogart, who writes middle grade novels and women's fiction, and we'll be back after this short break.